This podcast is part of the Erotica Podcast Network, which includes the Erotica Podcast, Erotica Sci-Fi and Fantasy, Erotica Loving Wives, the Spotify podcast Erotica Taboo, and the E.P. Non-Erotic Podcast. Both the Erotica Podcast and the Erotica Taboo Podcast offer bonus episodes for as little as $2 per month. Links for everything are in the podcast description. This podcast contains mature content and is intended for an adult audience only. It contains explicit words, thoughts, and ideas. The content of all stories is fiction with any similarities to real people or events being purely coincidental. This podcast is not intended for anything but entertainment of the listener, and if you do not agree with the themes listed in the tags, please do not listen to the story. All characters engaging in sexual relationships or activities are 18 years old or older. This story was found on a free website and brought to audio form here. I did not write and take no credit for this story. Please visit the link in the comments to further support this author. Neighborly Relations by Prophet 007. Chapter 1. I'd been living in Grange Court for about 6 months before I ever exchanged so much as two words with Jane Stickson. I knew who she was and I knew her name only because I happened once to take delivery of a parcel the postman was trying to deliver to her when she was out. When she got home and read the note the postman had put through her letterbox saying which neighbor he had left it with and came to get it, that was the first time I spoke to her. I noticed her around, of course. And yes, I'd cast my eye over her. She was a very attractive woman. About 10 or 12 years older than I was, in her late 30s by the look of her, she was still very beautiful, delightfully curvy, buxom but not in a disgustingly top-heavy way like those mutant women who have breast enlargements, and with a couple of long, shapely legs she occasionally showed off in short skirts when the weather was warm. Her hair was very dark brown, looking black in some lights, and hung soft and silky and loose just down to her shoulders. So yes, I definitely fancied her, I suppose, and was surprised there was no husband or lover present. Indeed, she only ever seemed to come and go from her flat for work, and otherwise seemed to lead quite a lonely existence, penned up in there on her own during the evenings. Still, each to their own, and it was nothing to do with me, after all. That all changed one Saturday, 2 weeks or so after we'd had our first proper conversation over that parcel. The knock at my door that afternoon was quite unexpected. I was having a quiet weekend in, watching a DVD at the time, and I wasn't expecting any visitors. I paused the disc and went to the door, being quite surprised when I opened it to find Jane Stickson there. She was wearing a red top and black trousers made of a smooth, thin material that accentuated the curves of her legs. She smiled at me, a little nervously, her green eyes looking at me with a sort of quiet intensity.
"Hello, I'm so sorry to bother you,"
she began apologetically.
"It's just, well, I couldn't help noticing when I was here the other day that you had lots of computer books and things on your bookshelf."
She indicated the shelf behind me, which did indeed hold all of my computer manuals and so forth. I didn't work with computers, but I was a bit of an enthusiast in my spare time and sometimes earned a little extra money doing freelance website building, albeit only on a small scale.
"Yes, yes, I suppose so,"
I admitted, feeling well disposed towards her. After all, it's not often one has an attractive woman on one's doorstep. I guessed already that she probably needed help with her own computer, and so it proved.
"My PC keeps crashing," she explained.
"And I'm afraid I'm next to hopeless when it comes to these things, and I was wondering, of course I'll come and have a look at it," I replied helpfully, grabbing my keys off the table just inside the room.
"No problem. Oh, you don't have to come right now, if you're busy. I'm not busy,"
I assured her, locking the door behind me as I came out.
"Just lazing around, really. It's terribly kind of you."
She thanked me as I followed her downstairs into her flat. The computer, it turned out, was in the bedroom, and I admit the prospect of being in there was not an unenticing one. I wondered whether to make a joke about any excuse to get me in the bedroom or something along those lines, but I reasoned that I would in all likelihood only end up with a slap, so thought better of it. It was a reasonably large room, with the bed in the center, the desk with the computer to one side, a wardrobe to the other with a small window next to it, and a dressing table with drawers built into it underneath against the wall opposite the end of the bed. Above the table, fixed to the wall, was a large mirror. It was distracting, in the most pleasant of ways, having her sit down in the chair next to me as I got to work on the computer's problem. I wondered why she had two chairs there anyway. Perhaps she'd brought one through from the main room in anticipation of my agreeing to help her. Either way, I certainly enjoyed having her sitting so close, barely inches away from me. I admit it had been a little while since I'd last had any intimate female company, and I was a little frustrated. I kept wondering whether I ought to say something, crack a joke, try and find something in common, maybe even just get straight to it, and ask if she wanted to go out somewhere for a drink, or something. After all, she seemed to like me, and she'd invited me into her flat so she must trust me, but no, as usual, I lacked the confidence. I couldn't do it. So I just sat there, and got to work fixing the problem. It was pretty simple in the end. I've wondered since whether she simply set the whole thing up as an excuse to get me in there, but I don't think so. I think it was just spontaneous, the way the afternoon unfolded from there on in. She'd installed a new screensaver she'd downloaded which was crashing her processor for some reason. It was a bit of a rickety old machine. I sorted it out pretty quickly, for which she was of course very grateful.
"You're so clever,"
she enthused, sounding more like a schoolgirl than a woman in her late 30s.
"It was nothing, honestly," I assured her. "Do you want this left on, or shut down?"
"Oh, you may as well shut it down for now."
"Okay. I don't know why I let the mouse drift onto the My Recent Documents list, displaying the files she'd most recently been using on the computer. It was a bit cheeky of me, really, delving into her privacy like that, especially with her sitting there right next to me, but she made no attempt to say anything or intercede as the list appeared. She merely drew in her breath sharply, nervously, as the file names came up, and just as I was about to apologize and explain it away as an accident, I saw the list of names: spank1.jpg, hogtiedbitch.jpg, handcuff2.jpg. And so it went on. For a moment neither of us moved, or said or did anything. Then I turned to look at her, and she glanced at me expectantly. Still we were both silent. Then I looked back at the screen and clicked on the first of the files. It showed a young woman, naked, bent over the knees of a man who could only be seen from the chest down, being spanked. Her face was a mask of pleasure mixed with pain, a silent cry or perhaps a moan of ecstasy. I clicked for the next picture, and it was a similar image, this time a naked girl cuffed with her hands behind her back. I looked across again at Jane, and knew that if ever anything was going to happen between the two of us, it was going to be now. "Come on, Ian, pull yourself together. Are you going to take advantage of this, or chicken out, mumble some embarrassed apology, and leave?" My heart was thumping and I felt almost sick with the tension, but seeing her sitting there, hands in her lap nervously clasped together, biting her lip in an anxious but gorgeously sexy way, I couldn't resist. "You only live once, after all." She obviously liked this stuff, and it certainly turned me on, seeing the images there, knowing she'd downloaded them for her own pleasure. "Go for it. Someone's been a very, very naughty girl," I said, with as much authority as I could, trying to keep the wavering nerves out of my voice, holding myself steady. Whether I could get away with calling a woman over a decade my senior a girl, I didn't know, but it was all part of the game. She was either going to respond and this was going to become one of the most electric afternoons of my life, or throw me out of her flat and leave me with some very embarrassing neighborly relations.
"Yes,"
she said quietly, looking down into her lap and then nodding slightly. "Blimey. This was it then. And we all know what happens to bad girls, don't we?" She looked up and nodded more firmly, a mixture of hope and apprehension in her eyes. "They get punished?" she asked. "They get punished," I confirmed, getting more into it now, energized by her obvious desire to join in the fantasy. I stood up and moved across the room to her bed, sitting down on the edge and moving back a little on it, my legs out in front of me. I patted my thigh firmly. "Come on," I instructed. "Across my knees, young lady." She stood, walking slowly across, not a word of protest. Smiling for the briefest of moments, she got onto the bed and stretched herself out across my knees, her beautiful backside clad in tightly fitting black trousers stretched wonderfully across it. The material was thin but there was no panty line. Was she wearing a thong? Or no knickers at all? The prospect of seeing was enticing, but I kept my mind on the job in hand, wondering if she could feel how hard I was for her under my jeans. God, having her warm, soft body stretched across me like that was bloody wonderful. "Now I don't want any fuss out of you," I told her sternly. "Just lay still and take your punishment like a good girl." "I'll try," she replied, shifting slightly once more, her backside moving on my knees. I looked at it, took a deep breath, and raised my hand up high. I'd never done this before. There's a first time for everything, I suppose. Smack, my palm connected with her backside with a delightful sharp slap of flesh, and she gave a little cross between a whelp and a whimper as the sensation hit her. My palm stung slightly, so I hoped her backside felt the same. She wriggled a little, and I placed my other hand on the small of her back. "Hold still," I commanded, and she did so. I raised my hand up again and brought it down, this time on the other cheek, and this time the sound she gave out was more of a moan, a delightfully breathy little oh, of pained pleasure. My cock was practically bursting through my jeans, and with the skin of her abdomen covered only by her thin top, I knew without a doubt that she could feel how hard I was there, so close to her skin that I kept her waiting for a moment, running my fingers across the smooth material of the trousers covering her backside, caressing her with my palm. She sighed gently, and I felt for the slip of material that would give away a thong underneath, but there was nothing. "You're not wearing any knickers, are you?" I asked, trying not to sound too obviously turned on by the idea, even though she doubtless knew how aroused I was. "No," she confessed quietly. "I'm afraid I'm not." Smack. Bad girl. She hadn't been expecting that one, and yelped. I'm sorry. She breathed. Sorry for what? Smack. Sorry for downloading filthy, kinky photographs from the internet? Sorry for being a little whore who goes around not wearing any panties? Or. I leaned in close, moving my other hand to stroke her hair gently as I whispered. Sorry for being such a hopeless spank slut who can't get enough of having her pretty little bottom smacked. Smack. Smack, two in quick succession, one on each cheek. Oh God. Writhing and grinding her crotch against my thighs. Well? All of that. She confessed, her voice still a husky, erotic whisper. Smack. And more? She nodded, a gesture I could see only by the movement of her hair, down and up. Snack. Smack. 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 Oh. This time she did sound pain from the quick foursome, but the cry turned into a pleasured moan once more. Tell me. She tried to take a breath, compose herself. Smack. I said, tell me, spank slut. The name seemed to excite her, reveling in the degradation the tag carried. She moaned once more, and it took another sharp spank to get an answer out of her. Books. She spluttered. Books? In the bottom drawer, under the dresser, show me. Slowly she stood up. Her face was as red as I guessed and hoped her backside was, but there was a real excitement in her eyes, her flushed cheeks showing just how much she was enjoying this. She walked to the drawer, kneeling and opening it. Underneath various underwear, some lovely-looking knickers I instantly knew I would love to see her in at some point amongst them, were several erotic novels. "Bring them here," I instructed. She brought the 6 books across to the bed and laid them in front of me, standing back nervously as I examined them. They were all much the same, paperback tales of women taken and tied up, spanked, degraded, used as sex slaves. "You dirty little pervert," I told her with dark relish. She bowed her head. "There's more, isn't there?" I asked.
"Yes."
This time the confession came with almost a kind of quiet enthusiasm.
"Well, sometimes I like to spank myself."
"Spank yourself?"
"With my hairbrush. I've never had anybody to spank me before. I know I deserve it."
"Nonsense," I sneered.
"You do it because you love it, spank slut. Show me."
She moved once more back to the dressing table and picked up the hairbrush, holding it out to show me. It was a good size, purple plastic backing with hard black bristles.
"I said show me," I told her.
I don't understand." I fixed her with what I hoped was a suitably menacing look.
"Use it."
She looked surprised, then excited, moving a step forward and holding the brush behind her. Pausing a moment to fix me with a look of something close to pride, pleased to show that she could take it, brought it down hard with a resounding smack against her own backside, gasping slightly as she did so.
"Again,"
I demanded.
"Harder."
She did as I commanded.
"Keep doing it."
Harder and harder she brought the brush down again and again, smacking it against her flesh, the redness of excitement returning to her face.
"Faster."
Without protest she did so, making sure she switched between her 2 cheeks as she continued to punish herself, moans of pleasure returning once more to her lips as she breathed ever more deeply.
"Wait. Stop."
I stood, and walked over to her. Taking the brush from her hand, I ran my palm once more smoothly across her backside, feeling its radiant warmth from the many blows that had rained down upon it.
"Turn around," I told her.
She obeyed, as always. We could see each other's reflections in the mirror above the dressing table, her face still flushed with excitement, mine as far as possible fixed with its commanding, determined look. I was beginning to get used to my role, and to relish it. I suspected that she had longed to be in hers for some time.
"Bend over."
She moved forward, stretching over the table, not caring that she was knocking aside the various moisturizers, lipsticks, and other bits and pieces covering it. She was pressed down against it, arms outstretched and hooked over the end of the table that was not quite pressed against the wall, her backside now a wonderfully tempting target.
"You're going to count out each stroke," I explained. "I will spank you 20 times. If you make any other noise or lose count, then we'll go right back to the beginning. Understand?"
"Yes,"
she affirmed, sounding almost as if she couldn't wait. She didn't know what I had planned, however. I turned around the brush so that I would be striking her not with the flat plastic back of the implement, but with the hard, stubby bristles. I smiled devilishly as I raised it to deliver the first blow. I was definitely enjoying this now. Smack, she whelped, all thoughts of games and counting forgotten as she reacted with shock to the very genuine stinging pain of the blow.
"Wrong,"
I told her, gleefully.
"Start again, from the beginning."
Smack, there was a pause as she desperately suppressed another cry, before in a quiet voice on the verge of tears came out with,
"Oh. One. Too slow,"
I told her.
"One more try, and if you don't get it right this time we'll make it 30 altogether. Please, I."
Smack.
"One,"
she cried.
"Good girl. Now remember, don't lose count."
Smack.
"Two.
Smack.
Smack.
3.
That was 2, can't you count?
Should have been 3-4.
You have to be quick. Back we go, and now Ida's 30.
She said nothing this time, merely readied herself for the next onslaught. I was almost impressed. Smack.
1.
Smack.
2.
Smack.
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 3, 4, 5.
This time she managed it, some struggles along the way and more pain the more blows rained down on her poor, tortured little backside, but eventually she cried out with evident relief.
30.
I stopped, replaced the brush on the table, but didn't tell her she could stand. She waited, breathing deeply, head resting on the surface. Once more my hand returned to her arse, smoothing across it, stroking it, feeling it. Then I delivered one final short, sharp smack with my palm, causing her to squeal in surprise before I stood back again.
"You can stand,"
I told her. She stood slowly, a little unsteady on her feet. Her face in the mirror in front of me looked proud and defiant, although it betrayed both the flush of excitement and the tracks of the tears she had shed during her punishment. I moved closer, right up behind her, and gently rested my head on her shoulder, looking into her eyes in the mirror as I slipped my hands around her and placed them together around her stomach, still heaving gently as she took composed breaths. The hardness of my cock under my jeans now pressed against her backside.
"How do you feel?"
I whispered delicately into her ear.
"Wonderful,"
she whispered back, looking at me intently in the mirror.
"And terrible.
Good." I unclasped my hands and slipped one of them down between her legs, pressing gently against the softness there covered by the thin material of her trousers.
"But there's more, isn't there?"
She looked confused for a moment.
"More?"
I pressed a little harder, rubbing more firmly up and down between her legs. She sighed deeply and closed her eyes.
"No. Eyes open.
Reluctantly she obeyed, reopening her eyes and moaning again as I continued to massage her gently between her thighs.
"You have toys," I whispered menacingly into her ear. "At least one vibrator, I'd wager, you dirty little slut. You haven't had a man here in the entire time I've been living upstairs, but you can't get enough of it. You're always playing with yourself every night, aren't you?"
A harder push.
"Aren't you? Oh God," she gasped.
Then,
"Yes. Yes, I am. I knew it. Dirty, dirty little slut, playing with yourself, stuffing the biggest vibrator you could find up yourself as you lay back on that bed, eyes closed, thinking about all those photos you've downloaded onto your computer. Or perhaps you spread your legs right there in front of the computer, looking at those photos, wishing you were the girl being tied, you the one being spanked. Am I right?" It was a guess, of course. An educated guess by now, but I was far too carried away with the game and my role in it to bother about how accurate it might be, and I think she felt the same. She would have agreed to whatever I said by that stage, although I got the feeling I was probably pretty near the mark anyway.
"Yes,"
she moaned.
"Yes, yes, you're right. I knew it."
Moaning and writhing away, making yourself wet, fucking yourself, oh God, yes. I could feel her wetness now, soaking through the thin material of her clothing, and I knew that if I carried on like this she'd come quite soon. I could feel her grinding herself onto my hand as I stroked her. It was hugely erotic, but there was no way I was going to allow her the pleasure of full satisfaction. I stopped, removing my hand and stepping back, leaving her gasping in disappointment and surprise as she clutched the edge of the table to stop herself from collapsing with the sudden shock of having her pleasure taken away.
"Show me,"
I instructed her.
"I don't understand. Your toys, show me."
She moved across to her wardrobe, and opening it crouched down, removing a shoebox from one corner, behind a row of her shoes. Opening it, she pulled out a mass of tissue paper, underneath which were concealed two sizable vibrators, one pink, one green with gold trimmings, of all the lurid colors. She laid them on the bed next to her erotic books.
"Very thoroughly hidden."
She smiled proudly for a moment, before I added,
"Who are you hiding your shameful little secret from, you filthy little whore? I doubt anybody else ever comes here, and you know well enough what a slut you are. Are you just ashamed of your own yearning, so you like to try and hide it away?"
She said nothing, merely looking down at the floor. I grabbed the box, which she still held, from her, and placed the vibrators back inside it. I also added the books, and after a moment's consideration, picked up the spanking hairbrush from the table and placed that inside also, holding the now full box under my arm.
"What? I'm confiscating these,"
I explained. "I don't want you having any fun on your own when I'm not here. From now on you come as and when I say you can, and you won't be a filthy little bitch playing with yourself all on your own, understand me?" Just for the briefest of instants, it seemed she might refuse and argue. And that was fine, I'd had fun, so had she, we could live the rest of our lives without ever mentioning this day again, or even exchanging another word, having enjoyed the game we'd been playing that afternoon. But that moment of protest passed, and she nodded.
"Yes,"
she said quietly.
"I understand. Excellent.
Now for the moment of truth. Did she want to continue the game? Was this going to be a one-off, or a regular thing?
I expect to see you at my door at 10 o'clock tomorrow morning,"
I instructed her, my heart pumping as the thought of having such a wonderful liaison continue for longer ran through me. How to run this? How to control it? I was just making it up as I went along.
"You will present yourself in the shortest skirt you own,"
I went on.
"And high heels. A low-cut top. I want to start seeing more of you, literally. Oh, and no knickers again. I want you nice and bare and ready under there, in case I decide to get right down to the skin next time."
That little prospect certainly seemed to entice her, and she nodded much more vigorously this time.
"Do you understand?"
I asked.
"Yes. I'll be there.
Result.
Good. I'll see you then."
And then I was gone, out of the door and back up to the stairs to my own flat, not even thinking until I got back inside about what my neighbors might have thought had any of them seen me carrying a shoebox filled with various erotic novels, two sex toys and a hairbrush with me. Mind you, I suspect most of them, the male ones anyway, would have been rather jealous had they known that I now had Jane Stickson from number 9 as a...
Well, what was she? Girlfriend? Lover? Sex slave?
Fuck toy, goodness only knew exactly what the full nature of our newfound understanding would turn out to be. But I was going to have a lot of fun finding out. That was for sure.
Chapter 2.
I don't think, in my heart of hearts, that I honestly expected her to turn up the next morning. I had difficulty believing when I woke up that the whole thing hadn't been a dream, despite having thought and fantasized about it, gone over it again and again in my mind, as soon as I had returned to my own flat that afternoon. No attempt to distract myself had worked, and I had to stop myself from marching back down there and telling her how much I wanted to fuck her, right there and then. I wondered whether she would have been receptive to such an idea. Probably she might well have been. That was why the temptation was so great. But no, I told her 10 o'clock the next morning, so 10 o'clock on Sunday it was to be. I wondered what she was thinking and feeling down there. Was she going over it in her mind as much as I was? I'd forbidden her to masturbate, of course, but I had no way of knowing and no way of stopping her. I'd not been able to stop myself from doing so with thoughts of her running through my head once I got back to my flat. If things were half as bad for her, and yet she was still obeying, she'd have to possess an incredible amount of willpower. I was up early on Sunday, nervous, excited, anxious. The minutes seemed to drag by so slowly,
I showered, dressed, thinking carefully this time about how to present myself. Casual but authoritative was what I was trying to achieve. Short dark shirt, dark jeans, 8:53 a.m., over an hour to go. I tried watching television, but of course there's never anything on Sunday mornings. Tried going online, or listening to the radio, but all the time thoughts running through my head of whether she'd turn up, how she'd look, what I'd do to her when she got there. The adrenaline was pumping, and I think what terrified me the most was not that she wouldn't turn up, but that she'd turn up and I wouldn't be able to think of a single thing to do with her when she got here. Oh God, what was I going to do? 9:10 a.m. Calm down, Ian, calm down. I found myself flicking through the books of hers that I'd confiscated, novels filled with all sorts of ways of restraining and punishing and generally degrading willing submissive women. That I had such a woman of my own to play with now. The thought was electric. I had to put the books away in the end, as they turned me on so much and I didn't want to masturbate again before she got there, decreasing my drive and excitement for what was to come. 9:37 a.m. She wasn't going to turn up. I had convinced myself of it. There was no way she was going to come. What sort of intelligent, articulate woman in her late 30s willingly allows herself to become some sort of submissive little sex slave to a man over a decade her junior, who she hardly knows at all, who just happens to live upstairs? I could be a maniac, a rapist, or anything as far as she was concerned. Fuck, maybe she thought yesterday was some sort of assault? Maybe she felt intimidated? Maybe she's going to call the police, and it would soon be them knocking on my door rather than her? 9:51 a.m. Relax, Ian, she's just not going to turn up, that's all. Women aren't as addicted to weird kinky sex as men are, surely? It was just a one-off experiment for her. She's not going to call the police, but she's hardly going to turn this into a regular thing. 9:58 a.m. See? Completely quiet, nobody on the stairs, nothing. Wait, was that a door opening downstairs? 9:59 a.m. I can hear the click, click, click of stiletto heels slowly, carefully climbing up the two short flights of stairs that link this floor with the one below. Oh my God! This is it, this is really it. 10:00 a.m. Knock, knock, knock. Three tentative taps at the door. I wait, looking down at my watch. Stand up, go to the door. Pause. She waits too, and then, a little more firmly, three more knocks. 10:01 a.m. I open the door. Cool, calm and in control, it suddenly seems to fit, my heart's still beating and the adrenaline is still pumping, especially when I see what she looks like, oh my God. But I know now what I'm going to do. It feels right and natural. She's smiling, nervously but eagerly, her eyes bright and sparkling. As instructed, she is wearing a short skirt, so short it probably qualifies more as a micro skirt than a mini, only a few inches down from her thigh. If she was bent over, it would ride up enough for anybody to be able to see what underwear she was wearing, if any at all. It is black and soft and smooth. Her legs are also smooth, gorgeously so, looking longer and sexier than ever today as they balance atop a pair of heels so high that I wonder how she can possibly walk in them. Black shiny leather shoes they are. Her top is also black, armless, cut low enough to be able to see a more than generous amount of her ample bosom. She stands there, still and silent, as I run my eyes up and down her, happy and proud to be inspected, keen to show that she has obeyed all instructions, but perhaps nervous of my reaction. She looks superb, of course. But I can't praise her, that would never do. You're late. I snap simply. It was 10:01 when I opened this door. I expressly said 10 o'clock precisely. She looks aghast. But she knows better than to protest, however, and trails off, looking down. You'll be punished for your unpunctuality, of course. I say offhand. And for protesting. I hope you don't give me cause to punish you for anything else this morning. I'll try not to, sir. The sir sounds almost like a question, an attempt to establish just how she ought to address me, something we never discussed yesterday. We're still newcomers at this, trying and testing the boundaries, the rules and each other's limits, how the game is to be played. I like it though, sir. Oh yes. I nod, and stand aside to let her in. In you come. She totters forward in those heels, looking around the room as I shut the door behind her. She looks almost as if she is going to say something, perhaps behave like a normal visitor, say how nice the room looks, and it's true that I have made an effort to tidy up a little, as if it were some ordinary visitor coming. But it's not, and she realizes this, shutting her mouth and deciding it would be best only to speak when spoken to. I hope you have obeyed everything else I told you yesterday. I warn her sternly, walking around her as she stands nervously in the middle of the room. As I walk behind her, I look down at her gorgeous backside, and I have one of those wonderful moments of realization. This isn't some random woman in the street in a short skirt who you look at and think, blimey, I'd love a bit of that. She's mine, and I can do with her as I please. I feel like a child at Christmas as I reach out and brush my hand lightly against her behind. She isn't expecting this, and she jumps slightly, almost shivering. I'm not wearing any knickers, sir. She confirms as I keep my hand on her arse, squeezing and caressing one of her cheeks as I press myself up against her, my mouth against her left ear. Good. I whisper into it. And the other thing? Other thing, sir? You haven't played with yourself since I saw you? Haven't been messing around with yourself, getting your fingers all sticky and wet? She shakes her head, her smooth hair brushing delightfully against the skin of my cheek. No, sir. If that's true, then she's got a stronger will than I have. Not that I'd ever tell her that, of course. From the way she says it, I get the feeling that it is true, and I'm impressed. You wanted to though, didn't you?
She nods, and again there's that wonderful feeling of her hair moving against me.
Yes, sir. Very much so. I bet you lay in bed all night pressing your legs together, trying to stop yourself, didn't you?
Yes, sir, I did.
It was agony, sir.
Excellent. I lean down a little and move my hand from her backside to the back of her leg, drifting a finger slowly up and down, feeling how smooth her bare skin is there. She sighs slightly, the air gently flowing over her barely parted lips.
You like that?
I ask as I move the finger up to caress the skin of her upper thigh, just where it disappears under her skirt.
Yes, sir.
I consider moving my hand up under the skirt, seeing if she's wet and excited yet, but I resist, stopping a few inches short of her most sensitive of spots. There'll be time for that later, and besides, I don't yet feel entirely confident enough to.
Well, feel her up, basically.
She's come here to be dominated, not messed around like a teenager behind the bike sheds on the night of the school disco. I remove my hand, walking around to stand in front of her.
Well, if you're a very, very good girl for me today, you might be allowed a little satisfaction.
I tell her. But only if you're very good. She bites on her bottom lip nervously in that stunningly sexy way of hers, and for the briefest of instants I simply want to throw her onto the couch and take her there and then, roughly, passionately, no fuss or preamble. But I rein myself in quickly enough. The best things, as they say, come to those who wait.
I'll try, sir.
She says, really meaning it. But of course, we both know the whole idea is that she'll fail, and that I'll have something to punish her for.
Good. I'm glad to hear it. Now though I have to inspect you.
Inspect me, sir?
Well, you don't expect me to simply take your word for it that you aren't wearing any panties, do you?
Her eyes light up and she almost grins, but she manages to make herself look suitably serious as she shakes her head.
No, sir, of course not.
Good.
Over here.
I point to the table, which I've already cleared the surface of earlier in the morning in the knowledge that it would probably come in handy. I realize as she stands at one end of the rectangular object that it's a little too short for her to be bent over comfortably, so for a moment I leave her, disappearing into the bedroom and bringing back two large, plump pillows from my bed, which I place next to each other on the table in front of her. She looks down at them and then at me, knowing what will be required of her.
Lean forward.
I instruct. She does, and standing opposite I get a wonderful view of the globes of her breasts as her she leans right down, into the pillows, arms outstretched in front of her. I move around behind her, and trace a line with my finger down the curve of her backside before I hook the finger under the hem of her tiny little skirt, and pull it up over her waist. The skirt is tight, and stays firmly up where I pull it, fully revealing the glorious flesh of her naked behind.
Very good girl.
I whisper quietly as I smooth my palm across the flesh, which is ever so slightly red from yesterday's exertions.
Not too sore?
I ask.
No, sir.
She replies, her head leaned to one side against one of the pillows I placed on the table. I smack her, hard, and she yelps in pain, drawing in a sharp breath.
A pity.
I say. Then, my hand still on her arse, leaning forward across her back to whisper into her ear.
I'm going to make it sting so hard you won't be able to sit down for a week.
An exaggeration, of course, but one that excites her as much as it does me. She says nothing, but I can tell by the way she trembles as I stand back up. If I move my hand a little lower I could slip it between her legs, feel how wet she is. But I don't. I still don't feel as if it's time for that yet, time for me to touch her with such familiarity, even though I suspect she would almost certainly welcome such contact. Instead I draw my hand back once more and again strike her as hard as I can, so hard I can see the print of my palm left firmly imprinted on her vulnerable flesh. We play the counting game again, aiming straight at 30 this time. When we reach 20 she loses count, and says 21, I suspect she does it on purpose. We start again, this time going all the way up to 40, 60 strikes altogether having rained down on her delicate flesh. She moans and breathes deeply and occasionally cries out in pain or pleasure between strikes and counts, and I get carried away, putting everything into it, enjoying the simplicity of the feeling that spanking her gives, the release of tension and energy as I sting my own palm hitting her again and again as hard as I can, all the pent-up lust and desire and frustration on both sides being vented out. But I know we're treading water. Repeating ourselves. We did all of this yesterday. We simply cannot play the same games again and again if this is to continue. It's fun, but I worry about her becoming bored with me, with our arrangement, the terms of which are still uncertain to either of us. As she lies there, panting, struggling to get her breath back both from her excitement and the roaring pain of her glowing red backside, I know we have to move on, try different things.
Stay where you are.
I tell her as I stand back and admire the effect of the blows on her skin.
Don't move.
Again she says nothing, merely obeying without question. And close your eyes. I instruct her as I move around the table and head again into my bedroom. I suspect of course that they're already closed, but I don't want her seeing what I'm bringing back out with me. I want her to be nervous, have the delight and the anxiety of anticipation, of blind feeling. Also, of course, I don't want her to see what a makeshift job I'm having to make of this. I've never done anything like this before, so I am unprepared, having to make do with the materials I have to hand. I return to the main room a few moments later with her vibrators and hairbrush, still in their shoebox container from the day before, as well as several of my own ties, the best thing I have to hand to secure her to the table with. I fear she'd laugh if she could see what I was going to use, so I am glad to see that she had obeyed and is keeping her eyes shut. I place the shoebox on a free area of the table near one of her outstretched hands, the wooden surface smeared with the moisture from her sweaty palms, which have been moving around the table as she endured and enjoyed her spanking.
I place the ties over the back of one of the chairs still next to the edge of the table, and I pick one of them up.
Lift your head, I tell her. She does so, and I pull the tie around it, covering her eyes, to doubly ensure that she will not be able to see anything from this point onward.
I secure it with a knot at the back of her head, pulling it tight but not too tight. I have no wish to hurt her, not with this. Odd how I have no qualms about angrily striking her backside again and again and again, but I feel slightly embarrassed about the possibility of putting a blindfold on uncomfortably. She breathes in noticeably more quickly once she is blindfolded. This is bondage. This is what I suspect she has been dreaming of for some time.
Interesting.
Taking another tie, I secure one end to her left wrist and the other to the top of the nearest table leg. Mercifully, it just about reaches, stretching her arm out tightly. Moving around the table, I do the same to her right wrist. She says nothing, and allows her arm to hang limp, submissively accepting her imprisonment. Both arms are now stretched out, tense but not painfully so as far as I can tell, pulling her down onto the pillows that I pick up the last two ties, moving back around behind her and crouching to the ground. Taking one of her shapely ankles in each hand, I lift them and guide them apart until her legs are spread, her feet still in their ridiculous but somehow alluring high-heeled shoes next to the other to table legs. I tie each ankle firmly to one of the legs, so she's trapped, spread and vulnerable. Still crouching there once my work is complete, I look up. I'm only inches away from her sex, and I can see it, smell the overpowering scent of arousal, see how very, very wet she is. So open and exposed. If I leaned upwards just a little, I'd be close enough to stick my tongue out and lick her. I could touch her, feel her, take my cock out and fuck her if I wanted to. She's tied down and trapped and couldn't do a thing about it. I want to. God, I want to. But I don't. I'm playing the long game here. There's so much more to do and experience before we get to that stage. Besides which, she'd enjoy that too much, she has to suffer first. Instead, I stand back and admire my handiwork. I've never seen a woman tied and bound in real life before, in the flesh, inches in front of me. It gives me such a feeling of power, of control. But it's all the better for knowing she wants it, is a willing participant. This is not something I could ever do to a woman normally, but when it's part of a game, a consensual arrangement, the guilt and the taboo is not there and instead simply the glorious feeling of arousal and power. You're trapped, I say to her, pacing in a gentle circle all around the table so she'll never know quite where to expect me to attack first.
You can't move, you can't see. Bound and blindfolded. You love it, don't you?
Yes, yes, I do. She admits, breathily, then quickly she remembers.
Sir?
Smack. Quicker to remember the sir next time, I point out.
Yes, sir.
I'm sorry.
Oh, you will be.
Walking around her again, pacing slowly, quietly.
You've always wanted this, haven't you?
I ask her.
To be in bondage. You fantasize about it, don't you?
Yes, sir.
That's why you downloaded all those photos from the internet, photos of girls, women, like you, chained, tied, cuffed, unable to move, to resist. You always imagined yourself as them, put yourself in their role, in all your deepest, darkest fantasies, didn't you?
Yes, sir.
Always. How long have you dreamed of this for?
She seems unsure whether to perhaps give a real answer or a fantasy answer in the game. Standing at her side, I reach around and give her another sharp smack, jolting her in her bonds.
Answer.
A long time, sir. She confesses.
Years. Has anybody ever tied you before?
No, sir. She sounds genuinely regretful that this has never been the case. I wonder why it has taken her so long to explore this side of her sexuality. But then again, I'm only just discovering this side to me as well. Well, only just discovering that I have the ability to put it into action, in any case. I wonder if it's all about meeting the right person, as it is in romance, that sudden click of compatibility. But this is no time for a serious discussion of such issues.
Well, now you've gotten what you always wished for,
I tell her. Then, leaning in to whisper closely in her ear once more.
And you know what they say about being careful what you wish for.
Carefully, and very, very slowly and quietly so that she won't be able to hear or guess what I am doing, I pick one of her vibrators, the shocking pink one, out of the box and walk behind her. Seeing from behind how exposed she is, hot and wet and quivering with anticipating, makes me yearn once again for her. But I know teasing her will be all the sweeter and longer lasting a sensation, for her and for me. Again carefully and slowly, I move the vibrator to be so close to her sex it's almost touching her wetness. She can sense there's something there, and I hear her breathing slow down almost to a stop as she prepares herself for whatever's about to hit her. I can't help but grin as I pause for almost a full minute, breathing as quietly as I can myself, the silence only adding to the almost unbearable tension. Then I switch it on. Still not touching her, and only on the lowest setting so that it gently hums as it vibrates very, very slightly, but the effect upon Jane is still electric. She positively jumps in her bonds as the sensation of the air being disturbed about the vibrator hits her, and she can tell how very, very close it is. She pushes herself down, trying to touch her flesh against the vibrating plastic, but I pull it away sharply.
Smack.
Smack.
Bad girl,
I tell her sternly.
Do not move. Not an inch, do you hear me?
Meekly and in a voice dripping with desire, she manages to reply.
Yes, sir.
I turn the vibrator's speed up a little, to halfway, and again hold it close to her. She really has to restrain herself, forcing herself to ignore the urge to try and grind herself down against it, and eventually I reward this perseverance by pressing the plastic tip just very, very gently against her, barely touching her. Just for the briefest of moments.
Why?
She cannot suppress the moan of pleasure, which fades into disappointment as I quickly withdraw the implement. She doesn't beg or plead for more, though. She already knows better than that.
You want more? I ask teasingly.
Yes, sir.
Yes, please, sir.
More of this?
I place the vibrator against her once again, this time sideways on, rubbing it slowly up and down, up and down.
Oh God, yes.
She cries, her whole body spasming as the pleasure flows through her, again interrupted after just a few moments as I take it away, and she falls flat, crying out in frustration.
Please.
She whispers desperately. Barely audibly, I say nothing but grin to myself, switching the vibrator up to full speed so that she can easily hear how fast it's going. Once more I press the very tip against her, this time right up against her clit, and she cries out sharply in pleasure. Again it's just for a moment though, and again the pleasure quickly turns into frustration. Again and again I put her through this, sometimes allowing the vibrator to touch her just for the briefest of moments, sometimes for several seconds at a time, but never long enough to allow her full satisfaction. Once or twice I even allow the end of it to slip inside of her, but never very far, always leaving her excited but unfulfilled. She becomes so wet it's almost unbelievable. The vibrator is slick and sticky with her juices, which also drip from between her legs to the floor, forming a sticky little puddle of desire in the space between her bound feet.
I know what you want.
I tell her quietly as I push the vibrator into her soft, wet, welcoming sex.
I know all about what you want, you dirty girl.
Further and further into her until it's almost all the way in, and despite my earlier command she forces herself as far as she can back onto it as she moans deeply in pleasure, thinking this time, this must be the time I'm going to allow her to finish, to experience the glorious climax she's been building up to for so long. But no. I switch the vibrator off and pull it out, leaving her desperate and bewildered, her moan fading into a cry that sounds like real physical pain as her ache is left once more unfulfilled.
This is what you want,
I say, as I place the vibrator back into the box and pick up the hairbrush. Barely giving her time to process my words, I draw it back and then slap the flat plastic side of it hard against her, right between her legs, right into her wetness. It hits her with a resounding smack, sounding like a hand being brought crashing down onto flat water as it strikes her sopping dampness.
This is what you want, what you need, isn't it?
I demand, as again and again I force the brush against her, harder and harder with each blow, my fingers gripped so tightly around the handle that my knuckles are white. Again and again the plastic surface lands with painful force and speed against the open, wet and unprotected space between her legs.
Yes!
She cries out joyfully, lifting her head up from the table.
Yes, sir!
She shouts, even louder.
Oh yes! 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 Yes!
She's close now, so close, the stinging pain right in her most sensitive of areas exactly what she needs, the delicious contrast of the torture and the extreme pleasure. She's bucking and writing in her bonds, making the table shake with the force of her movements as I hit her so many times I lose count, losing myself once more in the action of striking her as her cries build and she gets closer and closer to orgasm. Now it's time, now is the moment between us. I drop the brush to the floor where it falls with a clatter, and then start using my hand, slapping her ever harder with my bare fingers, which come back sticky and wet with her juices as they make contact with her. Smack. 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 Smack, this is too much for her, and she can no longer form words, merely guttural animal noises as she shouts out, about to reach her orgasm. With the last smack I plant on her sex I keep my hand there, touching her properly for the first time as my slippery fingers reach out for her clitoris and massage it furiously, rubbing up and down as quickly as I can. Instinctively she pushes herself down as far as she can onto my hand, her thighs pumping as she basically fucks it for all she's worth. This is far, far too much for her and at last it sends her over edge, crying out in ecstasy as finally I allow her to reach the orgasm she's been waiting for, shouting out in blissful oblivion. When she's done, she sighs deeply and collapses back onto the sweat-soaked pillows beneath her, taking long, deep, grateful breaths, utterly spent. I barely know what to think as I withdraw my hand from her, and it takes me a few moments to compose myself. I can barely believe what has just happened, and I'm in something of a daze that I leave her there for a little while, getting her breath back, calming herself down. I wash the brush, the vibrator in my hand, placing the implements back into their box and putting the box away in my room. After a few minutes I move back to her, her body still stinking of sweat and sex, and I gently unbind her, taking all of the ties except for the blindfold back into my room. When I return she's still bent over the table, silently awaiting commands, her breathing close to normal. I pull her skirt down again, covering her wetness, and allow her to close her legs which she'd kept spread, gently touching them to encourage her to place them back together. Then I lean forward, undo the blindfold and just as she lifts her head to allow me to take it away, I give her a gentle, tender little kiss on the cheek.
You may stand,
I say quietly. She does so, looking shaky on her feet, but the look in her eyes and the smile she wears tell me how deeply satisfied she is. Her face is flush red and strands of her hair stick to the sweat on her forehead, but I can tell from the way she looks at me that she wouldn't have missed a single moment of this morning for anything in the world. Well, either would I.
You can go,
I tell her simply.
Oh, and the same arrangement still applies as regards touching yourself. You are only to experience pleasure as and when I wish it, understand?
I still have no way of enforcing this, of course, but she nods all the same. Her submissiveness may be a little more confident and playful now we're in the aftermath rather than in the full-on throes of the game proper, but it's still there.
Yes, sir,
she replies brightly.
Good. Now go home and have a shower, you stink.
She looks at me, a little unsure for a moment, perhaps nervous again.
You could.
She stops, seems to think better of it, trailing off. I'm curious, however.
Yes?
She swallows, composes herself, looks at me meaningfully.
You could shower with me?
She suggests, quietly. I shake my head. God, 2 days ago if a beautiful woman like that had made such an offer to me I would have been in there like a shot. But that was 2 days ago, things are different now. That's not to say I'm not tempted, Christ, I'm tempted, but I know I can't.
No.
I say simply, and she looks down, disappointed and despondent.
I'll be in touch,
is all I say. Now go. She nods again and goes to the door, opening it. Just as she's walking out, however, she pauses, turns back to me, and whispers.
Thank you.
Before I can reply she's gone, shutting the door behind her, the sound of her heels clipping on the stairs as she descends to her own flat. Once she'd gone, I collapsed onto my sofa, grinning to myself about what had just happened. I realized how damp my own underwear was probably getting. My cock had been positively leaking pre-cum as it ached ever harder beneath my jeans, yearning but unsatisfied itself. It occurred to me that in neither of our encounters so far had I asked or made Jane do anything for me, gotten any direct satisfaction from the experience. But that would come, I had no doubt about that. Besides, the experience was more than enjoyable as it was, the constant adrenaline surge of arousal, strung out over a long period of time. It was bliss. Mind you, I still needed something at the end of it. Closing my eyes and thinking back over the extraordinary morning I just spent with her, I reached down and began to unzip my jeans. This story is continued in the next part. This podcast is part of the Erotica Podcast Network. Please visit our other podcasts, their links are in the description of this episode. Both the Erotica Podcast and the Erotica Taboo Podcast offer bonus episodes for as little as $2 per month. Thank you for listening.